Welcome to Sweeping the Country. I'm your host, Derek Walker. My co-host, Mr. Jimmy Carter. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey. Summer is here. It kind of creeped up on me, actually.
Yeah, no kidding.
I haven't made any plans for anything yet, so that should be interesting. But everybody's working. Everybody's feeling good right now, and it's all good. I've allowed my, you know, sometimes I don't watch the news. I go a couple of, I kind of know what's
going
on.
How do you
on.
Get away with that? You can't well, do that.
I don't just stare at the newscast. You
okay,
know,
fair.
The 30-minute newscast or watch, you know, you either got to watch the left or the right.
Yeah.
Every afternoon around 6, I usually get in the car to go get something to eat, and I'll listen to a 5 o'clock newscast on News Nation. They try to play it down the middle a little bit. They're not really
I
far
like
to
them.
The left or the right. So I kind of get an idea of what's going on with them. And sometimes I listen to Real Clear Politics. That's a bunch out of, well, they're all over the country, but they cover Washington pretty good, and they try to keep it down the middle, cover both sides, sort of.
Yeah.
And so I listen to that most every day, but it just, this just got me all irritated in the last hour. Antifa militants. Now, first of all, Antifa really gets me started.
Just the word Antifa.
These are folks that often cover their face.
Yeah.
And I think you should. I don't think you should be allowed in public space with your face completely covered up, particularly at a demonstration.
I would agree with that. I found it.
You shouldn't be allowed to cover your face to go into a store. You shouldn't be allowed to cover your face, you know, to go into the mall or anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go around in public covering your face. Now, if they're covering their mouth, because, you know, I think it's hard to tell people don't do that, even though I think they're not, I think they're doing it for some other reason.
Yeah.
But to cover their eyes and their head and everything at the same time, I think that should totally be not allowed.
Well, I mean,
because you can't identify them. So they can throw rocks, they can do all kinds of crap, which they do. And this is in Seattle. So this happened, I think, today. Antifa militants and trans activists have surrounded a mother and her baby. And I saw the pictures.
Yeah.
They were leaving a Seattle pro-Christian rally.
Okay.
Chaos unfolded after Seattle police responded to the scene to save the woman. And then a couple of the Antifa militants or trans activists lunged at the police and lunged at the mother holding her baby.
Oof.
And I just ain't got any time for that. I mean,
I
you know, in the olden days, and okay, I could say several things of what used to happen in the old days when police used to carry billy clubs.
Yeah.
But you should not be allowed. I don't think they should be shot, but I don't think you should be allowed to lunge toward a woman with her child just because you're a protester. An Antifa protester.
I agree.
They shouldn't be given any. I mean, that shouldn't. I don't care if it was the shoe on the other foot and it was the Christian people going after Antifa people holding a baby and lunging toward them.
Right.
You shouldn't be able to do that either.
No, I agree. 100%.
You know, and intimidation. And I just, in Seattle, what a crazy place that's become, really.
Yeah, it was a catalyst when we had the BLM movement and the Antifa first go round.
Why is it so crazy there?
I think part of it was they stopped the police stations. They pulled them out. They thinned out the police. I remember during that, I can't remember what year it was, but they started to defund the police. And so what they did in Seattle was they started to move some of the substations out of the inner city areas and that kind of thing and just go back to a main station, which those substations helped a lot because the police were right there. They could get to the inner cities quicker. And I know several police officers that left Seattle during the first go round.
Yeah,
and they came into the Spokane, North Idaho area because it was a little more, and I don't know about Spokane as much, but definitely the North Idaho area, it was a little more liberal with the amount of force the police could use and that kind of thing, where Seattle was, their hands were tied.
As a tourist, you know, what a nice town to visit Seattle
Beautiful. It was. Yeah.
Geographically, it was. And I didn't feel comfortable even down by the fish market and places like that because the homeless situation is beyond out of control.
Yeah, it's gotten bad.
And frankly, if I was a homeless person, that would not be where I'd be anyway. It's too cold.
Too cold, too wet.
Too wet.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Southern California being in Los Angeles, I get that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And because generally the weather is okay. I mean, there's that, they got their bad days too. But I'd say 2/3 of the time, it's probably okay.
Yeah.
But in Seattle, man, rain and drear and
yeah, and it's definitely
snow and everything. That'd be the last place I'd want to be homeless or even, you know, anything, except you're not supposed to call them homeless. But this Antifa stuff,
yeah.
I'm not, you know, they're just way out of control.
Yeah.
And I hope we're not getting into the summer of that again.
I sure hope so. That was a disaster. And, you know, going back to the masks for just a second, I agree with you so much on that. And I think a lot of that has to do with back in the day, that is how criminals robbed banks. And that is
absolutely
how, you know, rapists did their thing.
There were laws. You couldn't go into a store. I remember, yeah, even on Halloween,
mm-hmm.
you couldn't even go into a drugstore or a Steak and Shake or anything like that with a full mask on.
Yeah.
Because that was against the law, because they need to be able to see your face in a public place.
You think COVID changed that?
Subject to being robbed.
You think, I mean,
well, COVID got your mouth covered.
Right.
Okay. But it shouldn't cover it. You shouldn't be able, okay, if you want to cover your mouth.
Yeah.
I don't even know about that in a public. You shouldn't even be out in a public.
I mean, then if you put a hat on and you wear a mask.
And if you've got a hat and doing all that, no, you can't wear anything else.
Yeah.
If you're going to do that, then you have to expose the rest of yourself.
Yeah, there's something weird about that.
Cuts you out. Otherwise, just stay home.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just, I just, it's irritating. Makes me crazy.
Yeah.
And then this whole immigration deal, it's so, I mean, I'm so worried that they're going to take a step too far and take the people that are legitimately needed to work, the landscapers, the home builders. I guarantee you, at least in the South, we're never going to be able to build a home again if they take all the aliens out,
mm-hmm.
the illegal aliens, because we won't know how to frame a house or anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's who's doing the work. That's who's cleaning your homes. That's who's working everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Now, should other people that not working do it? Yeah, fine. But I'm telling you, the Spanish people that come in that I've seen
mm-hmm.
that worked in my building fence, putting out pine bark, the other doing everything that they've done,
mm-hmm.
they're some hardworking suckers.
Yeah,
I'm telling you what, they are hardworking, and they do good work, and they seem to be naturally in their work, proud of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they seem to be, and they clean up after themselves,
mm-hmm.
which I can say I know a lot of rednecks that I've seen don't do that so much when they're building.
Hmm. Yeah, I disagree. I'm
very impressed with. So I don't want them to. I want them to get rid of the criminal illegals,
mm-hmm.
the ones that are the Venezuelan bad people, and I want definitely. There's no question about that. And then when they get through, then we need to talk about the rest. But I don't approve of them going through, you know, and getting people that, you know, working in the back of a restaurant, you know, downtown Nashville that are working and doing dishwashing.
Yeah, yeah.
Clean the room. I think those people need to be given some type of something that we give them that allows them to be here.
Well, didn't they used to get green cards? I mean, there was something called a green
card.
We
always had people, immigrants, to come and pick vegetables and fruit.
Yeah, they got a green card.
We never had any fruits and vegetables. California, you know, but then they were abused.
Hmm.
And that's why you had Cesar Chavez come up. Remember all
that
stuff?
That's right, yeah.
In central California, and that's why that got to be where that is.
I think they were called migrant farm workers.
Migrant farm workers, absolutely,
yeah,
that's what they were. And so I am all about that, and I'm all about them if they want to change the rules
mm-hmm.
about monitoring the money that all these folks, you know, they make this money, and they send most of it back to Mexico.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
And because they got people back there because this is work, mm-hmm. and that's why they're working so hard. But there needs to be some changes, but not just this. We're not going to export millions of people. It's not going to happen. But and you'd kind of like put clothes in the barn, you know, after it's burned down. Because these people are here. Now, some of them, if they're doing crime and doing all this other stuff, they got to go. They got to go.
Now,
and I don't care where they go.
There is a group of people that think, and I'm not saying I agree or disagree, but I'm just saying there is a group that believes the fact that they're here illegally is the crime.
Well,
is that enough?
I mean, I don't disagree with that, but there need to be dealt with differently if they're actually working.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I thought we had that cleaned up at one time where if you were, you know, if on a job site, you had to show some kind of ID or a green card or something to be able to go work construction. I thought you had to identify that you were somehow
that's
legal or temporary or something like that.
Yeah.
But there needs to be something.
Yeah.
So that we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, because number one, I don't think we can afford just physically to get a couple of million people out of the United States and do what it takes to do to export them. But I'm willing for them to do everything. If anybody who's in a jail, get them out, send them back somewhere, and they better not come back unless they're here for murder or something else. And then, you know, I'm all for bringing back the extreme circumstances for some of these
people. I got you.
Like, here's an example. They have arrested two people in Texas on a jet ski hit and run that killed an Air Force cadet over the Memorial weekend. And they are illegal immigrants. They were arrested. I can't pronounce their name. One's 21 years old female. One's 21 year old male. They were operating a jet ski that struck and killed the 18 year old at Grapevine Lake. She was a United States Air Force Academy candidate and part of the USAF's class of 2029. And they killed her, however they did it, and then they fled. So they have been taken into custody, and they may be under the ICE emergency removal operations in Dallas. And I could care less what happens to them.
Okay, fair.
They
and
fled
I'm
the
with
scene
you.
Of a crime, and I know why they fled, because they were illegal.
Yeah.
And then they got caught. And but I mean, they came in under the Biden administration, it says, blah, 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 blah. So I don't, it's a terrible problem, I think. And it's really something that's still out of control. And I just wish we would come up with, I wish it never happened, but we have got these people that are committing crimes and doing bad things. And it seems to be quite often in cars and in other things that they're getting DUI'd and, I don't know.
It's funny, because I think back to, we made over the weekend, my grandmother immigrated to the United States. She was our first generation that came from the Azores Islands in Portugal. And so I'm from Portugal, really. I'm two descendants away from being, directly from the Azores Islands. And there was a reverence that she kind of spoke about with the United States, right? She came here wanting a new life and wanting her parents and there was a respect, and there was a, hey, this is America. It's a great place. Let's, contribute to society, not let's come here, rip everybody off and rape and pillage and then, send the money back.
There have been people, and it seems to be more than, it seems lately, it all has Venezuela in the name.
Yeah, what is going on with that?
You know, there's some burglary. They arrested some a burglary gang that was Venezuelan. They seem to be, I don't know what these people
are.
Well,
I will guarantee you, if you bust into an American home and rob it, rob the jewelry or whatever, guns or whatever you rob, it's going to be more valuable than busting into a Venezuelan home.
So they're making money. Really organized, and they come up here and they go into in several rich people's homes in like Beverly Hills and other places.
Yeah, right.
And then not very long later, they're on a plane or something back to Venezuela.
Isn't that crazy? It's just crazy.
It's just like something you'd see in a TV show or a movie. It's a complicated question, but we just can't do the getting rid of the bad people quick enough to suit me. And then you've got the president. He is real loose with his pardon pen. And he's doing a lot of stuff with that because he can. And again, he doesn't have to worry about re-election. So, he can kind of do what he wants to do.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
And so he lets the Grizzlies out of jail. And I don't know what I think about that. They defrauded, or they were convicted of defrauding a bank out of like $30 million and something else. And they were convicted. Were they given big sentences? Maybe the sentences were too much or something like that. I don't know.
Jimmy, where did that originate? I have no clue on the historical setup of the pardon, but why is that even a thing? I mean,
governors, presidents, they've always had them.
Yeah, but because, why? I mean, why all of a sudden?
Because they're the ultimate authority. Technically, that's kind of a holdover from the king.
Yeah, it's just strange.
You know, they were the ultimate authority to let somebody, you know, forgive and let these people, because they were unjustly treated, you know, maybe, you know, either racially or I don't know how the Grizzlies were wrongly treated, but the daughter certainly thought so.
Yeah.
And made a big pitch to get them let out. And she spoke at the Republican National Convention.
Mm-hmm.
The president thinks that people like Savannah Grizzly helped get him elected because they swayed, you know, 1% of the young vote.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe he felt like he should listen to her and heard her story, and boom.
I just don't get it.
He could do it and did it. So
I just don't get it. I don't get anybody, and I don't care which side of the fence you're on, I don't get anybody being above the law. And I understand that ultimate power and all that, but I just don't think it's right. I think it's weird that we allow that as a country to just say, oh, yeah, when you get elected, you got 4 years and you can pardon whoever you want. And sometimes we see them pardon some real bad people.
Over the years, yeah.
We have. I mean, it's, I don't know.
You know, and all these pre-pardons that the Bidens did.
Yeah, what is that? Yeah.
Because it looks like that the Trump administration are doing what the Biden administration did.
Sure.
With lawfare. They're going after all kinds of people mm-hmm. to settle scores. And so maybe Biden or whoever was smart.
Yeah,
you know, to give these people pre-pardons because they can't go after them, but they sure seem to be wanting to go after anybody that, you know, was affiliated with them. I just think that's not the way to go either. I wish we would look forward and not backwards. But people that stole money, you know, if they've recovered, if they've found in this Doge thing, people that have stolen all kinds of money from the United States and done a lot of weird double billing and stuff like that. Yeah, those people, we need to take a look in this country at crime and punishment.
Yeah,
Not everybody needs to be in Sing Sing or Alcatraz.
Right, right.
Not everybody needs to be in that Marion, Illinois prison or Colorado prison that's supermax, where they don't see anything all day. They get an hour of sunlight a day or something. It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
In solitary confinement and all that other stuff. Nor do we need to necessarily have country club prisons where we put the rich, like Martha Stewart.
Oh, the white collar crimes, yeah.
And the white collar crime. Maybe that's the way to go in like a camp situation,
mm-hmm.
you know, for some of that. And I don't know what kind of prison. I think they were in minimum security, the Grizzlies. I'm sure it's not pleasant, but it wasn't like you're going in the back of Atlanta Federal Prison that's just
a
hellhole, you know.
I remember having Tommy Chong from Cheech and Chong. I remember having Tommy on.
Yeah.
And he got busted. He had a something called a head shop in San Francisco where he sold paraphernalia to smoke pot and do drugs. But he didn't sell the drugs, right? But the feds made an example out of him, and they put him in prison. And he came on our show after he got out of prison. And his roommate was the Wolf of Wall Street. They roomed together. And so he helped him write the screenplay or the movie or the book that he wrote. But when he was describing prison, I said, well, what was it like? I mean, what kind of prison? And he goes, well, he said that his cellmate would give him his book to read, and he would edit the book for Wolf of Wall Street. I can't remember the guy's name. But while the Wolf of Wall Street would go play tennis. They had a tennis court. Wow. And he'd go play tennis, and Tommy Chong would edit the book while his cellmate was playing tennis. And I thought, that's prison? You know, we got a good laugh because obviously he's a comedian. They made an example out of him and had to do some time for what he did. But he said it really wasn't much of a prison. I mean, that was kind of his summary. And I had no idea. I thought the white collar crime was still prison. You know, I mean, not like a country club like you're talking about. Well,
here's a guy that I just read about. What do you want to do with this guy, for example?
Yeah.
He's a new country singer. He just sold out a couple of places in Nashville, so mm-hmm. he's kind of a little bit of a hot property. He's used a little bit of his money to buy him a 19, 73 or 83 Dodge Challenger, got it all fixed up, running good, and he wanted to go out and see how it ran. So he had an open container of liquor that I don't know what that means.
Okay.
I don't think he was DUI because they didn't get him for that, but he had an open container of liquor. Took the car out on the road, and state troopers got him at 103 miles per hour.
Okay.
Which at 103, you're automatically reckless driving. I think that's what they say.
Yeah. Yeah. They can take you right to jail. Yeah.
And they did. And they took him right to jail and charged him also with open container of alcohol in the car. So he was in jail for 6 or 8 hours and bailed out at $1,000, which is very low. And now he's out. And so I'm sure he's got a court date and everything else.
Yeah, sure.
But he's all bragging about it. And he's even made some T-shirts up with a mugshot of himself on there. And, you know, and just saying, you know, I'm telling you what he just told everybody. He went out and drove, was going 103. And number one, I don't want to be on the road with somebody going 103 miles per hour. And if they're caught going 103, they should pay the consequences. So should he just be able to pay a fine and walk away on that? Now he's bragging about it. If I was the judge and I saw that, I wouldn't be too happy about it. And I'd give him some time for him to think about it.
I would consider that.
No matter what his lawyer was,
yeah,
I'd have him do some time, a week or two weekends or something that would inconvenience him to force him to say, it's not a cool thing going 103 miles per hour in your 1983 Dodge Challenger.
Yeah,
that really rubbed me the wrong way. And people have got to, we've got to this country, learn about crime and punishment, the concept of consequences.
Yes,
there's
that's
no consequences
it.
For anything.
That's it.
Anymore, just about. And then, yeah, if me and you do something, there are going to be consequences, I'm
afraid.
We're going
to pay, yeah. There's
we're
no going to
pay no matter what, if it's white collar, black collar, whatever collar.
Right.
But it just seems like other people, you know, seem to just be able to laugh. If I'd gotten reckless driving and had to go to jail, man, I wouldn't be sitting around
bragging about it,
glad about making me a T-shirt with my picture on it and going out and cutting a new song called something to do with bail or something. I mean,
no, it's turned into, and you said it just a minute ago, you said the consequences, and I'm going to roll this all the way back to the Antifa talk we had earlier, and this guy that's doing the 103, and all these people that have these crimes, and there are no consequences. There's no consequences for the lunging at the baby, the mom with the baby. There's no consequences for, you know, I mean, if you want to call a fine of $600 for going 103 a consequence, you take that guy's new car and you auction it off, that's a consequence. You know, I mean, you give them some kind of consequence so that they don't repeat the action. I mean,
than anybody else seeing this.
Correct.
Well, I can go out and drive 103 and
nothing's going to happen.
Know, I'll take that risk. I can afford $1,000. I'm going to take my Lamborghini out there on the Pacific Coast Highway and run 140. 150 miles an hour, and you know what,
right.
If I kill somebody, it'll just be too bad.
Well, and there you go, and that's the thing that can elevate it into an area where you spend 20 years in prison.
And that's like the illegal Indian, you know, legal aliens and all this other
stuff. No punishment.
It's all about consequences.
That's right.
We have laws in this country.
Yeah.
And they're not suggestions for the most part.
Yeah.
You can't just go out and do things. You shouldn't, and how Biden and the rest of those folks thought it was okay to just leave the door open for everybody in the world to come in and take over our schools, our emergency rooms, and everything else. Why they thought that was okay, I don't know. And I think they should have to pay consequences for that.
I was
but
just going to say,
you
were just talking about that. It feels, and I'm not, neither here, so I don't care what side you're on, but that feels like a crime.
It does.
To
I
me.
Mean, it's okay, so he pardoned himself and everybody else. And it's not just Biden, because it happened under a number of different administrations.
The whole administration, yeah.
You know, it's just this country since World War II, and maybe a little bit past that, maybe Vietnam. Number one, this is not the civil rights movement where you've got people with a real gripe out there doing stuff and protesting and trying to get attention for their gripe and grievance. I don't respect these Antifa people and what they do and how they go about doing it. They do it militants. It's called Antifa militants. They should be met with militancy and put out, gone. You can't do
I don't
this.
Disagree.
You got to go about this in some other way. Use the ballot, you know, do what, get your information out there on the internet, do YouTube videos, whatever you got to do. But going out there ready for battle in the street, because they're dressed in hockey uniforms, nearly.
Yeah, I see it.
Or they can
I
go out there and fight and stuff. That's totally unacceptable. It's unacceptable dress, behavior, or anything else. And we shouldn't tolerate it.
No.
As a society, we shouldn't tolerate it.
And if they
and
go
Portland
out.
Portland and Seattle have gone crazy, you know, with that.
I don't disagree. And if they go out ready for battle, then that might be what they should get, is a battle.
Right. And then you've got to risk the, you know, the life of our police officers who are underpaid. And that, you know, it's wrong to subject them to stuff like that. There needs to be something, you know, pretty severe that goes on, you know, when they do this.
A consequence. Again, a consequence. There has to be some sort of consequence. And you
get P. Diddy's Vaseline and spray it all on them,
that
you
was,
know, so they
Jimmy,
get crap all over.
That was baby oil. Get it right.
Baby oil. Shoot baby oil at the Antifas. Let them all be all greasy.
Slip around.
And then go home and slither around because they're slithering around. And it's not just them. It's other people that do crazy crap, you know, like those people. But they really are irritating. And we just don't have time for that in this society. We really don't. We don't have time for people who just drive 103 miles per hour and think that's a good thing and celebrate people that do that.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people that are backing up all these Antifas and trans activists and all this other stuff. I want people to go to work. Go to work. Be with your family.
Right.
You know, and people who have a real bitch about something, all right, let's figure, there ought to be a way in modern society for you to get attention. Whatever Antifa is for, I don't think they're communicating it well.
I couldn't even tell you what they're for. I couldn't either. And both of us are knee deep in the news all the time.
They're just, all they're doing is just causing stinks and, you know, tearing up stuff.
Yeah.
And frankly, and you don't see Republican people doing this. The Democrats right now look like all they've got is anger. It just seems like that's the only thing they can offer anybody is anger and opposition. I haven't heard any ideas about what they want. That's why they didn't get in this time. They didn't tell anybody what their plan was, what they want to do.
Yeah.
You know, other than let everybody have an abortion, let immigration be open borders where anybody can come in anytime, and a couple of ideas that a majority of the people in the United States have rejected.
Yeah.
So they got to have something else beside what they're doing. And we need two parties. We need somebody that's given the opposing view. It's what we need in this society.
Yeah, I would agree. Yes, I would.
And we need people. You know, people are mad at the courts right now, but, you know, you've got somebody up there that really doesn't seem to have a governor, meaning something that can restrict them.
Yes.
I don't know. It doesn't seem right for this country, even though these are bad people from Venezuela doing bad things. It just doesn't feel right for, number one, for them not to have any kind of legal hearing or anything, even if it's just, okay,
yeah.
At least you're going through the motions.
Right.
But just put them on a plane and send them to Sudan or somewhere else where they're not from, that doesn't feel right either. Something doesn't feel
right. It's a weird thing because we go back to the whole demonstration of consequences, right? Is it a message to people saying, hey, quit trying to come here till we get this all figured out?
I mean, there's so many things. I mean, right now, you got to pick priorities.
Yeah, you're
okay.
100% right.
You and we're trying to do that in this country, and it's difficult. Right now in Haiti, they're having all kinds of problems. They constantly have a lot of problems of poverty, of gang lords doing all kinds
of
stuff.
Oh, it's awful. Yeah, it's awful.
It's really bad, but we don't seem to care about that.
Not much.
For you know,
some reason, I don't know.
Right. We've got Russia that's just we seem to have, I don't know if we're still helping Ukraine or not, if we're still sending them stuff or not. And they're in Russia sending them ICBM missiles. I mean, sending them intercontinental ballistic missiles from deep into Russia into Ukraine. And Trump has just finally said that Putin was crazy, but we're not doing anything. Are we doing anything about it? I don't think so. Doesn't sound like it.
I don't know either.
And then Iran, we've got them supposedly on the borderline of being able to have a bomb, and we're doing all kinds of talking with them. But, you know, we're holding Israel back. Okay, I understand that, because mm-hmm. they're like Doberman pinchers, ready to go. But I don't know where all this – maybe we'll see something coming out of all this soft talking we're doing. But, you know, it sure seems like we're not giving consequences to Russia for this behavior. We're not giving consequences to Iran and Hamas for still holding, you know, prisoners and even the bodies of people. They haven't done what they're supposed to do. I mean, this country needs to think about consequences from A to Z.
Do you think that we have, and I don't mean to be pointing at any generation, but do you think we have a group of people that can't handle consequences because there haven't been any for a generation?
I think that's certainly got, you know, I think we're untested.
Yeah, that's right.
Since the Iran, since we were in Iraq and in Afghanistan, even it's getting to be a less, you know, it's not in focus anymore because it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a bit.
We were even over there doing whatever we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we've been involved in a lot of stupid things. And I'm glad we're not in Ukraine. I don't want to be in Ukraine. I don't want us to be in the Middle East. If we want to, you know, take some ships out in the water where we don't get messed up, and we take some planes over and do things, as long as they don't get shot down.
I feel like the last unified, I feel like the last unified, I can't think of a better word. Maybe you can help me. But the time that the United States was all on one page was right after 9/11. I feel like right after that, everybody was, okay, we know exactly who we are. We know exactly where we're going. We know what has to be done. We have to stop this. It took something of that magnitude to go, okay, we wake up, America, wake up.
And, you know, God forbid we don't have anything like that.
No, I agree.
But it means, frankly, you know, you've got – the Trump administration makes me a little nervous.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
It makes the Democrats a lot nervous, but it makes me a little nervous. But I have faith that they're not – they might want to cut some of the fat and cut some of this DEI stuff. I get it.
Yeah, do it.
Even in the Weather Service, I love the National Weather Service, mm-hmm. but they were all into climate change and all that stuff. I could see why they would want to stop that part of the Weather Service. But, you know, cutting out the forecasters from the local places, they were never overstaffed in the first place. Kicking people off of the National Park Service, they should be expanding the National Park Service, not shrinking it. So I just don't – I know that they've got to – you know, we're financially a country that's in trouble.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
We're in debt up to our butt because of all the welfare programs that we started during the Roosevelt administration.
Mm-hmm.
The Medicaid, the Medicare, I'd get Medicare, and thank you. You know, I'm glad I have it, and I'm glad I have Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got a lot of things, you know, that we're depending on the government for, and it's the budgets are out of whack. The only way you can do it is to cut back, or in Trump, and this is what he's not sold very well, we want to make more money. Make more money, you don't have to cut back. You just have to double down and work harder. Mm-hmm. That's what he's doing with the tariffs and everything else. He's trying to make us make more money so we don't have to cut so hard
mm-hmm.
or tax us so hard.
Which I don't hate. I mean, I like fiscal responsibility as well.
Right.
Because
and that's what a lot of people are on the right side even are fussing with other people on the right side about, because they want to cut.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see, you know, pictures on the news of starving babies and all this other stuff. And I don't think that would happen necessarily. But it might go too far and affect some people you know, that we don't really want to get affected, but we do need to make more money as a country. So if we can do it by making people who are people we do business with, like Canada,
yeah,
like Germany,
sure,
and all and everybody else, make them have give us more fair deals where we can make more money. That way we can do some things we want to do. But it's out of whack.
It is, right. Jimmy. The budget, I mean, as much as we all say, oh, we're going to get a balanced budget, right? But a balanced budget for the United States of America, is those are numbers we can't even fathom.
We let ourselves, you know, we sold out to China.
Sure we did.
We let everything
sure
be built over there. They said that the iPhone would cost $3,300 or $3,500 if they built it all in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
We like cheap stuff.
Sure.
Okay, so... You know, and then he's admitted, this is Trump, he doesn't want to be in the T-shirt or sock-making business.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to let the people in Vietnam and China have that. But he is 100% right. We got to bring the medicine makers back to this country.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to bring the people who supply the United States military and parts for our planes and all that stuff has got to be built here.
Sure.
It's a national security thing. Should have never been let out the door.
Mm-hmm. You're
you
right.
Know, and there are a few other things like that that we need. But, you know, we've got to get some of that stuff in order. But a lot of this, you know, it's just kind of gets off track. And you just wonder what's going on.
I agree. But you said it a while back. It's become this machine of programs. So you have all these programs spending millions and millions of dollars, and all of the programs have gotten out of hand. None of them are within, you know, their operating bounds.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, they go out there and they throw a blanket over the whole thing and they go, okay, there's no programs. Well, that hurts some of the folks. So I get the complaining there. I totally understand it. But at the same time, how do you take from one program and then not from another program? Because some are important to, you know, you brought up Medicaid, Medicare, and things like that. Super important to people that are using it. To people that aren't using it, not as important. To people that might use it someday, maybe a little important.
You know, giving money to people who are just sitting on their butt. Who are not working and taking, you know, federal money.
Yeah.
That's not right.
I don't like it.
We've always been very reluctant to make people work or do public service or do something like that.
Why? Why are we so?
I don't know.
Is it because
I don't. It just, you know, I've always said that if you couldn't work, you could do public service or answer the phone or do something. There's
something.
You know, even people with the handicaps and other things. You know, we got to cut people slack.
Mm-hmm.
And but the way that we've gotten around not treating veterans right has mm-hmm. never been right.
Yeah.
And I think we're doing better. I hope we're doing better on all that stuff, but it's just the priorities of this country for the last 50, 60, 70 years, we haven't maintained the roads right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we started out building interstates and kind of quit after a while and then never went back to try to fix them.
Yeah, it's
and
odd.
We're all concentrating population back into the inner cities again.
Mm-hmm.
And the inner cities, whether it's Nashville or Austin or whatever, the sewage systems and all those things can't stand it.
No, they're fatigued. So they're old.
If you fly over this country and at night and you just look at lights,
mm-hmm.
everybody is on the ocean or the Gulf or a river. And
yeah.
very few people are anywhere else.
And
this country's got a lot of space.
It's got a lot of land.
It
definitely does. I mean, you think about the overcrowding in the cities. And like you say, when you take a flight, you go, gosh, it feels like 3/4 of the United States has no one in it. You know,
right.
It really does. I don't know
and
what
yeah,
the stats
you
are.
Yeah, because you can't, because it's the dark side of the moon. It's
right.
You know, barren, the rain never happens and all that
right,
stuff.
Right.
So people need to be about a water source. I get
yeah.
all that.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've just got to figure out, I mean, we got to have a meeting with ourselves, but we can't stop fighting and stealing from each other, and someone's bigger than someone else. And you got to remember, you've got these. In fact, I posted a picture a few minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
F-35 fighter built in the United States, sold to Finland and Norway, I think.
Yeah.
I've sold to everybody, but they've got it. And they were practicing landing on closed down portions of their interstate system
mm-hmm.
because those planes can Those planes can land in a very short
distance,
space.
yeah.
They can actually do vertical or horizontal flight, and they're first round fighters. You know, we've got to be ready if Putin decides to point the missiles our way.
Sure, yeah.
Instead of just Ukraine, he's testing out all his good stuff doing this. We hadn't fired any of those missiles, you know, of our own stuff in forever.
Right,
so
right.
We have to fire one off every once in a while to see if they still work.
Right.
But he's over there regularly firing them off. So that's kind of scary.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. And
you know,
all this talk about the Golden Dome recently, you know, made me think about that kind of stuff more than I ever have since the Cold War, which, you know, I was
just
a kid.
It's concerning that he's even thinking about it, because you remember presidents, even if you don't like them, they know more stuff than than they want to tell us about. And you know, you got submarines sitting off our shores and all this kind of really crazy stuff. And you know, we've got technology that's unsurpassed. What we have in our drone world and at sea, at land, and everywhere else, we've got a lot of great stuff and great people. But you can't get stuck doing stuff, you know, picked on that DEI business. You need to have the best, strongest people do some of that stuff, and not because it's politically correct. If it just happens to be one of those people, that's fine.
Sure.
But you can't just do it because of that. You need the best leaders you could find, and they're going to get back to that, you know, in this next couple of years, and hopefully that'll put us in a good place. The people seem to wanting to join everything from the Coast Guard to the Army to the Navy because they trust a little more of the leadership than they've had in the last few years.
Well, to be honest with you, there is some leadership.
Yeah, you know, like, and this whole thing about Biden, you know, in the auto pen and some of that stuff.
Gosh,
I mean, we all, you know, people who could see it, but wow, the cover up of that,
right?
And people saw it, but they just, you know, didn't
in denial. What was it? I mean, I don't know.
They really must not have believed in Harris at all, or they would force Joe out and had her be made president.
Yeah, yeah, you're
right. If they'd have done that, she would be president today.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Trump would not have beat Harris if she had.
Oh, he wouldn't have had a chance if,
already.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So Biden's just put a hose on a lot of people because of what they did. So
no, good stuff, Jimmy. Always a lot of fun. And even though it's not always, you know, the topics that put a smile on your face, it's definitely topics that you got to discuss. And I encourage you, if you're listening to this podcast, tell a friend. We do it every week, you know, God willing. Sometimes we miss a week or two, but we try to do it every week.
Well, we just try to, you know, you just got to be sober every once in a while. And I love Mission Impossible. I thought it was great.
Oh, did you?
And I had a good time there, and I highly recommend it in IMAX.
Yeah, yeah.
And other great stuff. And I'm watching Earnhardt
on saw that
Prime
the
Video.
Other day.
That is a great documentary about Dale Earnhardt.
Wait a minute. Did you watch Nana's Kitchen yet?
I haven't yet.
Oh,
because that's about namby-pamby stuff, and
come
I haven't
on,
had
Jimmy.
Time for it. I couldn't get Ted interested in it either.
Yeah, he didn't care. He probably
but Earnhardt is great.
I'll watch that.
Mission Impossible is great. I love Mobland. It's wrapping up. Final episode comes out this weekend.
Yeah.
And that's been a good series, but you need to put closed captioning on.
Okay.
So that's all the fun stuff.
All right.
That's it.
We got it all covered. And if you want to hear it again next week, a totally different topic, just tune in. We'll hit that too for you. Until then, I'm Derek Walker. He is.
I'm Jimmy Carter.
Good day.